At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time to go behind the scenes with the boys in gold. This is NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila. Hosted by Tony Husband and Jamie Watson on your home for Nashville Soccer Club.
ESPN
94.9 and the Game Nashville app.
Hello, welcome to NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila. This is your exclusive look behind the scenes at Nashville Soccer Club on the home of Nashville SC on the radio, ESPN 94.9. It's hello from Tony Husband.
And Jamie Watson joining you in your airwaves. If you thought TV wasn't enough, well, you're in luck because now we're in your ears coming to you with our weekly show. We are so excited to talk all things Nashville SC, but more importantly, we're going to peel back the layers of some of the most important pieces to the puzzle that is Nashville SC, and we are going to guide you across so many different directions, so many different ways you're going to learn about people in ways that you didn't know before. Some of your favorite players may become even more of your favorites. You may be feeling a connection to them that you didn't know existed after listening to this show. It is something that we are very excited about. We're excited to partner with our good friends here at ESPN 94.9. And Tony Husband, we have got a great first episode tonight, don't we?
We have got a fantastic first episode. I have to say, I mean, I love the theme tune. I thought that introduction was
strong
fantastic.
Start.
Max is behind the glass. He's played that. Do you know what? I felt like Jim Nantz setting up the final round of the Masters as that came on air.
Yeah.
That was, you know.
So now you've got to live up to that expectation, by the way. So way to set that bar really high.
We've got to deliver something that is as good as the final round of the Masters as well. And I can guarantee you that we will, my friend, because our feature guest of this very first show is the man himself, the legendary Nashville SC skipper, Dax McCarty. Jamie, I just got a feeling that there's a little connection that you have with him down the years, you know, once or twice, maybe. So, you know, it's going to be great to hear you two gallivanting back the years and thinking about all the memories. So I'm looking forward to Dax joining us. He's going to be our feature guest of this first show. Later on as well, we got this big Canadian double coming up this week, haven't we? So it's Toronto Wednesday, Montreal Saturday, and we're going to be joined by the Canadian TV pundit, Stephen Caldwell, who, of course, a fantastic player of yesteryear. I actually researched some of the games that I watched him on in England 14, 15 years ago, commentated on. And it's amazing when you think, I was in the same stadium at the same time. He was doing something rather more important. He was playing. I was just sitting on the side, waffling on the radio.
Well, if you weren't doing that, then you couldn't, you know, do your normal bit where you make everything seem so exciting and innocuous shot or cross. You make it seem like it's the final, very Jim Nantz of you, in a Wembley Stadium final. So, yeah, we'll be able to talk all about his days at Newcastle, where he started out. He played at some big clubs, Sunderland, Burnley, Wigan, ended his career at Toronto FC. And then he's made a similar type switch over that I have into the TV side of things, which is great because, Tony, I must say, one thing that I've learned now is I'm in my fifth year of this. You're a lot further on in this career, and I'm just now finding this out. This is great. You're so connected to the team, yet you don't have to do any of the running. I don't know what took me so long to figure that out. So if I would have, I probably wouldn't have been able to play as long as I did. Probably best I didn't. But also that carried me through where you've got the connection with Steven. I was able to cross paths with Dax McCarty. So as you mentioned, we will have plenty of stories, and we do not want to get canceled in the first week. So we will not be able to tell all of those stories, but we will try to tell you right up to that edge. We'll try to teeter and toe the line as much as we can. And it should be a very first one. But Tony, it has been a very, very busy first part of the season. Can you believe we are almost about a fourth of the way through the season already?
No. And when you consider, we kind of waited a long time for it to get going, didn't we? Yeah. I mean, it was a long winter, And then we got going, and it's been at times thrilling, at times a little bit frustrating, a lot of draws. But you know, we're really now into a massive phase of the season. It's going to be really interesting these next few weeks, isn't it? I mean, the temperature is rising here in Tennessee. Warm days, some warm evenings, and there's going to be some great nights the next month in particular under the lights at Nissan Stadium. Very much looking forward to this home stand. And everyone tells me, Jamie, actually, about, you know, MLS, don't read too much into the kind of early stages of the season. It's a kind of league where you can make a playoff run in September. And if you're hot, then you know you can make up some ground for perhaps an indifferent first half of the season. So I'm loath to say we're going into a pivotal stage of the season. But look, we know Nashville SC has got a big front-loaded schedule of home games, and no one would deny this is an important streak coming up now, isn't it?
Yeah. So here's what I'll say about Major League Soccer, and to your point, Major League Soccer is a league of streaks. And there will be times in which you are riding high. And like I say, you like to ride that wave until it crashes on the beach. And then like a wave when you're at the beach, it'll come again. And there may be times you're riding waves where things just aren't going your way. And you try to hope that wave fizzles out as quickly as possible. And then you catch the next wave. And this will seem as though this next five games may be the most important wave of the season. You say that until the next wave comes in, and where things stand five games from now, we may look at that and say, well, this certainly now becomes the most important wave of the season. But, Tony, when we look back at the collective of the first eight games that we've seen now, and on this show being on Monday nights, more often than not, we'll look back at the game most recent. But since we've got eight games to sort of collect on, since we're starting the show this evening after the eighth game of the season has already been completed, I think it's important to note that when you look at the start of the season, if I would have said to you, and I would have said to any bookmakers in Vegas, there will only be two teams left at the end of the seven games where there's an international break for Nations League and various tournaments and whatnot and friendlies, would you have said that Nashville SC would have been at the top of the odds list for that? Well, probably not.
No.
Right? But the reality was that's where they were. Them and Seattle Sounders were the last two teams standing. Now Seattle sits alone at the top of that mountain. But if you can go seven games without losing, that's a streak and a wave that you want to ride. And that will put you in a very advantageous spot more often than not. And along the way, I don't want to say that was like a beautiful, calm wave. It was choppy at times, down 2-0 at three different points in the season. There's very rarely times you'll find yourself down 2-0 at 3 points throughout the entirety of the season, let alone through the first seven games. But I think they navigated the waters really well. And I think he found out a lot about this team and the character. And I think the guys in the locker room found out a lot about their character as well in the group. And so maybe that little bit of turbulence and choppy waters at times yielded a result that you say, hey, there's some beauty in this, and we can find a way to dig out and get a result. And that's one thing I'm going to be intrigued to ask Dax about when we get a chance to talk to him coming up in our next segment. Kind of about that mentality of when you find yourself down, do you actually even get nervous? You know what I mean? I want to break into the psyche of the captain. But, Tony, it's been an eventful first eight games of the season. You're the voice of it. You get to call some of these big moments. When you look back at it, were there any moments for you that stood out that you go, wow, that was an exciting portion of the first eight games? Was there a moment in which you said that goal was the most exciting that you had? What do you think of when I first throw that question to you in the first eight games? What stands out?
I think I look at the Eastern Conference as I look at it now, and I look at the team that's at the top. 20 points from 9 games, 6 wins, 2 ties, 1 defeat, and the team is New England Revolution. One defeat. Result of the season so far, Nashville SC beating New England Revolution. Fantastic performance. And it's there. I mean, if you need any incentive for this Nashville team to perform in the weeks to come, and this next week particularly, you need to say, look, who have you beaten that no one else has managed to do? You know, the most impressive team in this league, without a doubt for me, are New England right now. And they've been beaten once by Nashville SC. That was the result of the season for me, the performance of the season so far as well. I thought, thinking of other big moments, I thought opening night was great, albeit set against the fact that Cincinnati bounced out into that kind of almost weird two-goal lead.
Yeah, really quickly.
Yeah, but it was the first night we actually had a proper kind of attendance in, wasn't it?
Can I venture to say out a sense of normalcy?
Yeah,
a little bit.
It almost felt normal. I mean, even you and I were outside the booth to start the show.
Yeah,
down with the fans,
out on the concourse, yeah. Which is one of our favorite things.
Oh,
how amazing
that.
Is that?
Absolutely love that. So that was a good night because the kind of bombardment of the Cincinnati goal and Titon, who was in goal that night, not in goal anymore for Cincinnati, he's lost his place, and he got player of the week, I think, or goalkeeper of the week.
Very rarely do you give up two goals and find yourself still on the team of the week. That's how many saves he made on the night.
He was that good. You know, that is still one I think it got away, isn't it? You know, should have gone all the way and finished 3-2 that night.
But. Yeah. Yeah, and I do think that there will be some points along the way. You know, it's one of these things you hear quite often. A lot of the players, when we get a chance to speak with them, whether it be during the week, whether it be on this show coming up, whether it be on the broadcast, a lot of them will say these things will even out over the season. So there's going to have to be some points and some wins along the way that they maybe squeak out for a result like that on opening night against Cincinnati, in which they would have looked back and said we probably should have and needed to get 3 points, but we didn't. So now there's going to have to be a performance along the way that they go, oof, we got 3 points there, but we probably shouldn't have on the night. So there's still a lot of left of the season to be able to do that, but that certainly are two moments that stand out for me. Can I throw the question back at myself now and say, Jamie, what was the most important moment of the season?
You can definitely do that. And then we got Joe Willis to hear from briefly as well.
Oh, I'm glad you asked that.
Before we bring Dax in. So go on, your moment of the season so far, we hear from Joe.
Well, I think if you look at it, nobody had gone in to Mercedes-Benz Stadium against Atlanta United when they were down 2-0 and gotten a result from that match. And then Nashville do it right before the break. And then you see Philadelphia Union go and do it. What has Nashville SC started? Atlanta never done something. Now they're doing it back-to-back. Thanks a lot, Nashville SC, if you're an Atlanta United supporter.
I have to say, Atlanta-Philadelphia games this season, they are knockdown, drag-out affairs,
absolutely,
aren't they? They are games. They are appointment-of-view games. I mentioned, and you've been talking a lot about players, getting in the mindset of players. We'll hear from Dax after the break, but just before the break, let's get a little word from Joe Willis, Nashville SC goalkeeper, just on the challenge that's facing Nashville both this Wednesday and indeed with this homestand coming up.
They're a good team. They have a lot of attacking pieces that can hurt you. So defensively, we're going to have to, you know, get back to what we're used to and keeping clean sheets and staying organized. So, you know, they've had an up and down year. And but, you know, teams like that are especially dangerous because – you know, they got to go for it at this point and they got to start throwing caution to the wind and trying to score goals. So, like I said, they have a lot of attacking pieces, a lot of guys we're going to have to be aware of. But, you know, I think we're going to focus on our game and our game plan and try and take the game to them.
Joe Willis setting up Toronto on Wednesday, Nissan Stadium, and we will talk more as well about all that and a whole lot more from Dax McCarty as well. And Joe Willis in that back line wanting to get back to that kind of clean sheet mentality that that we saw them get back into early in the season as well, Jamie.
Yeah, we got a sense of normalcy when they went well over 400 minutes without conceding. Hasn't been the same defense this season so far that we saw last season. But I wonder, Tony, is that because the expectation was so high after over 9 shutouts last season? And then you look at it and you go, well, is that something we can expect every season? Should we expect that every season? I think the level of expectation now is a very high level that you say, well, this team should be one of the league leaders week in and week out or across the board of the whole season in goals conceded. So I do think that that's an expectation and a pressure applied by themselves, but that's where you should be. If you want to be a good team, you have to expect a lot of yourself, a lot of your defense, and a lot of your goalkeeper. And so hopefully we will start to see another streak start to form, another wave, if you will, start to form.
Indeed. Okay, that's the end of our first segment. Don't forget, text line 615-737-1025 if you want to get some points through to Dax McCarty. He is going to join us after the break on our first NSE Backstage presented by Camarena Tequila.
Because they want to go big time. They want to go big time now. But at the moment, they're facing McCarty running all the way towards the box. Dax McCarty puts it into the corner. Dax McCarty has made it 3-0. And that is sensational for the Nashville SC skipper. And that could be the goal that fires Nashville through in their first ever MLS postseason game. Quite brilliant. Dax has done it. 3-0 Nashville.
Back into our first NSC Backstage program presented by Camarena Tequila. Tony Husband, Jamie Watson, and the man who scored one of the great goals in that amazing first season for Nashville SC, Dax McCarty, is with us tonight. Dax, hey, so good of you to join us. Thanks very much. And, I love listening back to that goal. I mean, what a goal. You just carved Miami open with that goal. Oh, and what placement for the finish.
No, I appreciate it, Tony. Did bring some good memories flooding back. I have to say, your call makes it sound a lot better than I think it actually was in reality. But you know what? Sometimes when the Red Sea parts, you know, you got to run through it and try to do something cool. And thank you for making me sound a lot better than it was.
Well, you're fortunate on that front because not many players have ever said that to me before. But you did kind of part them like the Red Sea for the club that has Soccer Moses. I mean, it's all there. That was a great memory. We've got a lot to dig into there, and Jamie's chomping at the bit to get going. But let's just kind of pick up where we are right now. So here we are, off the back of first defeat this season. I mean, you know, everybody's going to lose at some point, but how do you feel about where you are as a team and the place you're in as you go into now a really big phase of the season?
Yeah, I think it's an opportunity to learn from our first loss of the season. You know, I would say that anytime you start a season 7 games unbeaten, it's a very big positive. But the good thing about our team is that I don't think we were satisfied. I don't think anyone in our locker room felt like we were, you know, the kings of the world, you know, the best team in MLS by any means. You know, we felt like we still had a lot to work on. And to a certain extent, the Red Bull game was a nice little reminder of how when you let things slip a little bit in a game and when you don't play at your best, you can lose to anyone. It's just a reality of the league that we play in. And I think with some of the, I guess you could call it some of the holes that we've dug ourselves into this year, going down 2-0 in 3 games and being able to come back and get 3-2-2 draws and then probably should have won 2 of those games. I don't think it's realistic to expect a team to be able to consistently do that and keep, you know, making sure that you pick up points. It's just not something that's sustainable. So unfortunately, we weren't at our best against the Red Bulls. We've watched video. We've gone over some areas where we fell short. And the good thing about our first week here with 3 games in it is that the turnaround comes quick. Wednesday comes quick. We're excited to get a team in Toronto in that we know pretty well from last year, obviously, and a team that has struggled a bit, but a team that is going to present a whole new set of challenges for us. And so it's an exciting week for sure, and we want to get back on the right track on Wednesday.
And Dax, save the answer where you're going to say, well, 3 points, because I'm going to ask you the question, what do you get from these 3 ties where you're down 2-0? So again, don't be the smart guy that I know you are and say, well, you get 3 points for those ties, Jamie. What is the takeaway from the team when you've been put in an adverse situation like that, being down 2-0, and you crawl back to get points, and then you go into the locker room afterwards? Sometimes it feels like a loss, sometimes it feels like a win. You said that to us on the field in Atlanta. That one in particular felt like a win. What kind of character does that build for this group that you'll take through the rest of the season?
Well, Jamie, it gets you 3 points.
I knew it. See, you can't help yourself.
That's the first thing it gets you, in case you are unclear on the rules of soccer. But There's a couple other things that go along with those 3 points that I think are in some ways even more valuable. The first one is you get self-belief. You get belief in the group that you're never out of any game. You get a sense and feeling of resiliency, a little bit of a challenge, right? You really see what your team's all about when the chips are down and when you're not playing well and when you get punched in the mouth. I mean, you really get to see the test of a character of a person, but also a team when they get punched in the mouth once, twice, three times. Can they show character to come back and stick together, be a group, don't start pointing fingers, don't start placing blame. That's something that I think our team is so good at, is just getting on with it, understanding in the moment that pointing fingers and trying to argue and bicker and figure out whose fault it was, that's not going to help anyone. And that's the one thing that our group does really well is, you know, we accept what has just happened and we move on. We try to focus on the next play. That's something that all of us, you know, Gary and especially the senior players, the older players, try to harp a lot on in training, is if you make a mistake, it happens. Every single team in the world makes mistakes. You guys know that. The Euros are on right now. Copa America is on right now. There was a massive mistake just made today in the Euros. Russia guy passed the ball back to Yusuf Paulsen to tap in a breakaway. So it happens at every level of the game. If you make a mistake, get it out of your head, focus on the next play. That's what we do really well, and I think we have done that really well throughout the year. Obviously, against the Red Bulls, it wasn't meant to be. You know, that was a matter of a good team, you know, not letting us come back into the game. But I think that we've shown this year that when we do go down, we're going to be a team that continues to fight. We're not going to be out of any game. We don't believe that, and I hope our fans see that when we play.
Wow, spoken like a true captain there. And the resiliency that the team has shown and you as the captain has been evident. But I want to peel the layers back here. Let's figure out how you get to this point. How do you develop this mindset and cultivate it over the course of an illustrious career that you have developed? So let's take it all the way back. And I'm talking all the way back to Winter Park, where you grew up as Dax McCarty, who's got a younger brother, Dustin. You've got wonderful parents in Dart and Cynthia. Where does your love from the game come? Because your dad and mom, I know, used to take you all around Central Florida area, taking you to and from soccer practice, your shin guards just stinking up the car, still dealing with all of that. And your dad was influential in Central Florida in soccer. Where did you first fall in love with the game, and how did your family kind of help grow you into this leader that we get to see every week on the field?
It's a great question, Jamie. And before I answer it, talking about stinky shin guards, just a fun fact for everyone out there. I, believe it or not, still have my shin guards that I wore in my FC Dallas days, if you can believe that.
You still, so, the ones you still wear today?
They are the ones that I still wear today. They are relics of a time past. And so I'm not allowed to take them in the house in the off season. They have to stay outside. They are, I think the proper term for them is weathered. They've seen
got
some
mileage.
Are they proper? Yeah, are they proper solid though, Dax? I mean, because you know what? I was watching a game yesterday. And I was saying, look, we need to do something about shin guards these days because they don't seem to protect players. Because I see, you know, the little tap on the shins these days, straight over. When I played my very low level of soccer in my life, and it's a long time ago now. I mean, we put proper shin guards down inside our shin. You know, you didn't get hurt when somebody got you on the shin.
Tony, I'm picturing it now. You're wearing the full ankle guard.
With the padded ankles on the sides of each of your ankles.
With the padded ankles, yeah.
Did you go over the socks, Tony? Tony wasn't over the socks.
No, under. Under the socks.
Dax, do we think Tony was an over-the-sock or under-the-sock kind of guy?
He was probably an under-the-sock, fold-over type of guy.
It was under.
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. Okay.
I must say that...
way to toe the company line there.
I must say that my parents were a huge influence on me growing up, as well as my brother. And he doesn't know, I mean, he knows this, but it's almost ingrained in you from a young age when you have a father who, as you know, Jamie, he was a Top Gun pilot in the Navy. He always likes to joke that the movie Top Gun, his real life role was that of Maverick in Tom Cruise, and he was a slightly better looking version of him, which is debatable, although I have seen pictures of him on aircraft carriers with the wind blowing in his hair. I must say he looks pretty handsome. And then my mom was a very good tennis player. And so, you know, I was very lucky to have both of them in my life. They were both extremely committed. They both, like you said, drove us pretty much all over the state of Florida and all over the southeastern United States, you know, getting us where we needed to go, my brother and myself. But my brother was really the one that stoked that competitive fire. And it wasn't even on the field. It was in our house. We used to have a mano a mano, basically grudge matches inside our living room, where the front door would be one goal and the back door would be another goal. And we would be playing with a little miniature pillow. It wasn't even a ball. Cause my parents, I think they tried to like let us do it because they thought, oh, it's a pillow. It won't break anything. Little did they know how many things we broke that we just hid and they didn't know. So yeah, we did that every night in the living room, and we would play back and forth, and it would get aggressive. Tears would be shed. There was blood drawn on occasion. And when you have something like that, when you have someone that close to you that you can lean on, it just kind of builds that competitive desire from a very early age. And so, I'm really lucky with the environment my parents created for myself, but my brother was a huge part of that. And I certainly feel very blessed and lucky that, you know, I've been able to parlay that upbringing into something a little bit more.
If you're just joining us, that's Dax McCarty, captain of Nashville SC, Jamie Watson, Tony Husband here on NSC Backstage, presented by Carmen and Tequila. Dax, one more question and we're up against a break. We'll have you stick around for another segment. When you start to talk about your development, you go on to UNC, you play in the college ranks, you get drafted, Generation Adidas, you go to FC Dallas. Where in your younger days, and I say quote-unquote your younger days because you're still a young guy, but when you look back at the college and early part of your career, where do you think you really made the transformation from a good player to one of the most elite central midfielders in Major League Soccer?
Well, I appreciate that, Jamie. Thank you. I know that really pained you to come out of your mouth.
Tony actually wrote that. I was just reading his script.
Down for you. I know. I like that. Thank you, Tony. I know you always text me about how bad I played to try to keep me humble, and I appreciate that. But to be fair, man, I had quite the evolution as a player growing up. I really fancied myself as an attacking player. I loved scoring goals. I loved getting assists during my club days. And in my under 17 national team days and residency and at UNC, I really liked to be a number eight. I was a guy who I always appreciated midfielders that could do everything. You know, guys like a young Steven Gerrard and guys like Paul Scholes. I mean, guys who were visible to me to be able to watch, and guys that I really admired because they didn't just do one or two things really well. They did like 9-10 things really well on the field, and they could play at a high level in numerous positions. And I really wanted to model myself after that. And so I think the perfect position to do that is as a number eight. And, you know, as you get a little bit older, you know, you start to realize that you can do some of those things well and other things might not come so natural. So goal scoring, that kind of slowly just started slipping to the back of really what I was going to be able to contribute to a team. And so it was early in my New York Red Bulls days. I specifically remember, you know, a certain game, Hans Bacca came up to me, our coach at the time, and he said, "Hey, listen, we have a lot of injuries. I want to play you in a 4-1-4-1 formation. I want you to be the one that sits in front of the back line. And I just want you to, you know, cover ground, get on the ball, play simple, play fast, dictate the tempo of the game for us." And that was a specific moment that I really remember that it was almost like a light went off. Like, hey, why didn't I focus and do this more earlier on in my career? Because I really felt a comfort with that position and that role. And so, you know, I have to give a lot of credit to Hans and you know, what he saw for me. And obviously, it's been a great ride up until this point.
Dax, fantastic stuff. Stay with us because we'll dive a little deeper into the move to Nashville and how you're finding the journey in Music City. We're going to take a quick break, though. Don't forget, 615-737-1025 is the text line. And you are listening to NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila. And And we welcome you back into NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila. Tony Husband, Jamie Watson, and our first very special guest of this series, Nashville SC skipper Dax McCarty, joining us tonight. Dax, great to hear the insight there and what fueled your kind of soccer love from early days. And I just love the fact that your shin guards are still the same. In fact, we were going to have a special guest next week, but I've decided we're going to change the guest list out. We're going to have Dax's shin guards as our guest next week, because I reckon that
they have some stories.
They must have a life of their own by now. I want to talk a little bit now and move the conversation to moving to Music City, moving to Nashville. And we had a great question from Wayward Blade on Twitter. This is Christina. She says, you've been a leader on and off the field multiple times throughout your career. What does being the captain to a relatively new franchise in MLS mean to you? And I think that gets to the heart of, you know, you play for some of the most storied clubs in MLS, and then you're at something that's brand new. What's that been like for you?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's something that I've touched on occasionally when I've spoken about, my move to Nashville, and I just go back to the feeling of wanting to build something special and be a part of something from the ground floor up and helping to kind of set a foundation for, you know, what I think success looks like. And along with some of the other people behind the scenes at the club that were so important in founding Nashville SC, I think that, you know, the things that I've learned throughout my career, being in all of these really special clubs, and seeing what works, what doesn't work, being on some very good winning teams, being on some not so good teams, it happens. You know, a player's career, you know, unless you are a top player at one of the biggest clubs in the world, you know, there's a lot of ebbs and flows that go into this game and into this career. And I've been lucky enough to live pretty much every emotion that you can, being in MLS, and those moments have really shaped who I am and what I believe, you know, requires success in this league. And so it was really humbling that, you know, Mike Jacobs and Gary Smith put faith in me to bring me in here and to say that they wanted me to be the first captain in club history. That was something that I take and still do take so much pride in the fact that, you know, this club is a club for the community. This is a club for the people of Nashville. And the fans have been so supportive, and they've been on board from day one with this club. And you know, just trying to put a product on the field and put players on the field and people behind the scenes that will make Nashville proud. That's something that I think is really special and really important to me. So certainly with that comes the motivation to succeed on the field and to bring success and trophies and all that good stuff. But I think that there is a process that needs to be followed in order for you to get to the top of the mountain. And I'm really enjoying that process. I hope that people can see, the hard work that we put in and day out. Maybe it's not so readily available to see, but, you know, when that stuff manifests on the field and the first win in club history, the first playoff win in club history, being able to advance and to make all these special memories, that's something that I'm very grateful that I'm a part of.
That's a great question from @WaywardBlade24. Christina, thank you so much for your question. We encourage you to hit us back at JamieWatson77. You can put your questions there. You can do it at Nashville SC. You can hit Tony Husband up as well. That's @TonyHusband. Get those questions in weekly when we have our special guests. Thank you, Christina, for that question. And we also had one more question from @NSC_Ronan. Said, Dax, will you sign my cast Wednesday night? We'll find out if you're a good person or not.
No question about it. I would love to.
Okay. Well, there we go. So then those are a couple of questions from our fans. We really appreciate that. Again, Tony mentioned it. You can send us some questions. Get your questions in quickly. Max is checking it. Producer Max making sure the text line 615-737-1025 if you want to get a question in. For Dax McCarty, captain of Nashville SC, he's our guest right now. Dax, I want to throw some questions your way. These are the first four questions that I have for you. Whenever we found out you were going to be our guest, I thought, well, we need to know how much Dax knows about Nashville, somebody who ingrains himself into the community. Now I want to ask you a couple of questions, and I know you are a husband now to your much better half, Jen, and you are a father to your adorable son, Callum. So I wonder, now this question and the answer may be very different now as a dad, but the first question I had, favorite restaurant in Nashville? Obviously, being very different because now you gotta, you know, maybe you gotta find a place that's got chicken fingers on the menus. Definitely some mac and cheese. I've seen the way you eat sometimes in the off season. I know that you do eat that way as well. But in season, I know the body is a temple. So, first question: favorite restaurant in Nashville?
There's this great place, Jamie. I know you'd love it. It's in Berry Hill. It's called Jimmy John's. Have you ever heard of it? It is
freaky fast. Wow. It is. It is. So,
The only problem is that they don't cut the sub down the middle. It really pisses me off. But that's not my favorite restaurant in Nashville. There's a few, man. I live in Edge Hill, and it's just such a wonderful community. I love the neighborhood. So I wanted to shout out one of my favorite restaurants that I actually occasionally eat my pregame meals at as well. It's an Italian joint called Bella Napoli. Shout out to Bella Napoli. Fantastic pasta. Great food. Great guys that run the joint as well. Both big soccer fans, clearly Italian guys. One is a huge Napoli fan and the other is a huge Lazio fan. And so they tell me some stories about their younger days that probably aren't too appropriate for on the air right now. But
please don't get us canceled in week one. Yeah,
I enjoy that place a lot. And then let's see, another one. I think my favorite place for maybe a date night where we get a babysitter and leave the little guy at home with my wife, like you said, my better half. She would appreciate that. So thank you, Jamie. Always catering to the audience. Fifth and Taylor. I think it's in Germantown. Wonderful place to eat. If you haven't eaten there, highly, highly recommend.
Tony, we've had the chance.
We've been to the Italian, haven't we?
Yeah.
I didn't know about the Lazio, the Lazio fan, though. I didn't know about that.
Oh, he's got a big Lazio tattoo on his arm, so you'll see him next time.
Normally, when you say that you know Dax McCarty, you get your meal free. We actually had to pay double. I think you skipped out on a tab, so thanks for that one, Dax. Anyways, that's question one. Question two. Again, this may be different now that you're a dad, and maybe we'll talk about like pre-bedtime. And we'll talk about post bedtime for the little guy. Favorite streaming show on Netflix right now, or Hulu, or YouTube TV, whatever your streaming service of choice is.
Oh man, you know my wife is so difficult to pin down to actually get her to sit down and watch something with me. She is very into the true crime wave that we have happening. So when I try to throw out like a drama or a comedy or something on Netflix, it's a hard sell.
A rom-com?
She doesn't have the best attention span, I would say. I think she loses interest in things quickly, but we have settled on a show that we both really like and that we're both pretty into right now. Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, awesome.
Quite a drama, very dark. Tony, yeah. That's kind of what the McCartys are into these days. Little,
all right, man. Here we go.
Little darkness. We got a lot of good stuff going. Well,
he said he didn't want to get us canceled early on, and now he might get us canceled.
But
at the end of the segment,
we want to balance that out.
Yeah, I tell you what, you need some Seinfeld or something after that, don't you? I mean,
just to lighten the mood before you.
I mean, that is brilliant.
Hey.
I'm really into Impractical Jokers myself.
Oh, well, there we go. That's my.
I have a lot of time for those guys. Oh. I think that those guys are fantastic. So that's the comedy for you. There you go. There's a little bit of balance for you.
There we go. Question number three. And look, you just mentioned your lovely wife. So I have an idea of what the answer might be because she has a little bit of an insight to this next question. But your favorite app right now on the App Store?
Oh.
And you can't say your wife's app, even though she just launched that one.
Certainly hers. You can find it on the App Store, Ditch Drift. But, you know, that's for another time. I love that app. I can't use it because I don't have a farm to plug into it. I don't have seed traits organized. Just for those who are into farming. Let's see. My favorite app. You know what? I'm an old soul. I always, forever, no matter all these new apps that come out, right? You got TikTok and you got all these different ones. I'm not into TikTok. The wife is. Twitter is still my favorite. It still will always be my favorite. It's basically my only source of news these days. Try to keep the TV off. And so whenever I see, you know, some tweets from Jamie, I always press the mute button. And then, you know, he always brings me back in. I always feel bad about it, Tony. And so I'm like, he might want engagement. He might know that sometimes I'll like his tweet, sometimes I won't. Maybe I'll give him a retweet.
Hey, you're just one button off. So the mute one's right next to the retweet, Dax. You just keep mistakenly hitting the wrong one.
Where's the block button at? Because that one's coming up soon.
That's not important. Don't worry about that one. You'll miss all the good news you're talking about if you do that.
Twitter, I have a soft spot in my heart for Twitter. I always enjoy the banter. In my younger days, I used to go back and forth with fans a little bit. I used to have a good time with it. And the best part is you can't take Twitter too seriously because everyone knows that everything said on Twitter is the end-all be-all. It's a fact. If it's put on Twitter, it is 100% true.
Absolutely. Yeah, see, you got it figured out. And with 407,000 followers, Dax McCarty 11 would certainly be a good follow. We're talking to Dax McCarty, Nashville SC captain, here on NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila. Dax, one last one for you. We'll have to let you go here, which we don't want to do, but of course we have to. We can't afford to keep you any longer. Your fourth and final question. We live in the Music City now. You got a favorite music experience that you've ever had? Or a favorite concert?
Cool. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
I mean, you're going to casually mention that you were on stage with like U2 or something at one point?
No. That was in my younger days. That was like 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
No, dude. Honestly, I mentioned my neighborhood earlier, Edge Hill. It's honestly one of my favorite places that I've ever lived because our neighbors and our community is so cool here. But there's a house that's just down the street from us, and I would always walk by it with my little guy, pushing him in the stroller, and they have this kind of unique setup, right? They got like a lot of hedges that are blocking the view of their house, but then there's like a little entryway with like a hedge garden or whatever. You can see through it, and in there you can see their front porch. It says the Red Door Saloon, and I was kind of curious about what that was. And so one day one of my other neighbors hit me up and he was like, hey man, there's a little concert going on down the street at that house on the corner called the Red Door Saloon. So, you know, the wife and I went out there, we checked it out, and there were just a bunch of local musicians from Nashville that would go and perform on the front porch of this house. And the owners of the house are musicians themselves. And they just play music throughout the night. They cook out, they grill out, they have people bring their own chairs and the kids are running around the front yard. It was a really cool experience. And honestly, you guys know how it's been with COVID. It's been very difficult to have those unique, organic, experiences out in public. And that's one of the reasons why I think now, you know, hopefully with vaccinations going up and COVID rates dropping, people are able to do a little bit more. It's been so, heartwarming to be able to get out in the community and actually meet these people and meet people that live close to you and, you know, have a little bit of an idea of kind of the vibe of what's going on around you in the city. And it's just no surprise that that happens a couple blocks away from our house because we live right near Music Row. So I think all of our neighbors are involved in music one way or another. So that was probably one of the coolest experiences I've had in Nashville so far. And hopefully there's more to come.
We certainly hope so too. And I echo that. It's just fantastic to be getting out and new experiences and really enjoying what the Music City has to offer. Dax, you've been our first guest, which means you've been our best guest so far.
And also the worst one.
And maybe the worst as well. But we appreciate you talking to us. Very good luck, of course, Wednesday and indeed Saturday.
I gotta say, guys, thank you for having me. Tony, unbelievable host. I'm sorry you got to drag that anchor along next to you. Honestly, man, you carry the show. So when maybe in 5 or 6 years when I retire, if you build the show, you know, and you need a replacement to sit next to you and be a little bit better looking, a little bit funnier, just let me know.
We'll slot you in.
I'll keep the seat warm for you, Dax. You got a long career left to keep playing, though, pal. Keep
Thanks,
going.
Baby. Yeah,
we appreciate you, Dax.
Jamie's just committed you to another 390 appearances in MLS. Okay, we must get to a break. We'll see you with Steve Caldwell coming up after the break. NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila.
Michael Bradley now finds Preso alongside him, edge of the penalty area. They drive it left. It's for Gallagher. Gallagher to try and cross. What drama at the end of this game. Can they hold out? Lift it high. Into the hands of Joe Willis. He makes the catch. He slows play down. And surely now it's all eyes on Robert Zabiga. A look into the eyes as the Toronto player says they feel they're beaten. Gary Smith waiting for the whistle. And there it is! There it is! This is brilliant! This is sensational! This is Nashville SC dumping Toronto out of the playoffs in a historic victory at Rentschler Field. Final score, Toronto SC 0, Nashville SC1. Wow.
Yeah, well, wow indeed. Rensselaer Field last November. Amazing victory for Nashville SC. Continue that playoff run. Beating Toronto FC, and, well, Toronto will have a chance for revenge this Wednesday night at Nissan Stadium. Welcome back to NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila, Tony Husband, Jamie Watson, and now Stephen Caldwell joining us on our first show, a co-commentator, of course, with TSN in Canada, a player who I watched many, many times in England, and, of course, with a distinguished career, of course, in MLS as well. Stephen, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Tony. Looking forward to it.
So, we just heard the playoff defeat of Toronto last November. And as they arrive in Music City, well, a few questions about this Toronto team of 2021. What's happening?
Yeah, they're having a tough time, to be honest. And the slide started last season and obviously ended in that disappointing playoff defeat for them to Nashville when they're playing at their home away from home at Rensselaer Field. So, it's unfortunately continued this year. They're on the road again, which is one of the reasons, but the other reason is that, you know, this team's not quite gelling. They're having some issues off the field and, of course, change of head coach and some kind of issues on it, trying to adapt to a different style and find a rhythm and obviously win games at the start of a new season.
How different is the style as well that we're going to see from Toronto in Nashville this week? I mean, from Greg Vanney to Chris Armas, I think Chris Armas had said it wasn't that much of a difference, but I think listening to you on the commentary at the weekend, you would say that there has been a big shift in the style.
Yeah, I see a big shift for sure. I mean, Greg Vanney was a possession-based coach. At times it was you know, a little bit slow and very methodical and side-to-side and a lot of build-up, and I guess it suited the players that he had. He had great success, Greg Vanney, at Toronto, as everyone knows. So that was what he liked, and obviously he changed. He went to Galaxy, and as Chris Armas came in, the question was asked, would it be more of a Red Bull style and, you know, fast pace, get it forward a little bit quicker and high press and this kind of thing. And it's certainly how TFC started the season. They did well in that first Champions League game against Lyon and got through that, and it was very impressive to watch. And then since then, it's been a bit more difficult. And actually, their best performance was that victory against Columbus in Exploria Stadium in Orlando. And it was a bit of a hybrid. It was more of a controlled press and sort of like choose your moments to go and get the ball back, and it worked better for them. So I think, you know, to think they can transition right into that different style with the personnel that they have is ambitious and probably some kind of in-between version is the best thing to win games at the moment.
You're hearing the voice of Stephen Caldwell, lead co-commentator for TSN. You'll be on the call Wednesday night when Nashville SC takes on Toronto. Stephen, you have an incredible resume, nearly two decades as a player. You represented your country, Scotland. You're now one of the best pundits across Major League Soccer. You're also an assistant coach for the Canadian men's national team. I'm not sure what you can't do when it comes to soccer. You pretty much have checked every box possible, and you're doing it right now. When you look at this Toronto team, the team that will come in Wednesday night, they started to look a little bit more on paper, at least, like the Toronto FC that you saw at their best. You got Pozuelo return. Jonathan Osorio was back. Pozuelo, obviously the MVP last year in Major League Soccer. Ayo Akinola starting to really come into his own as well. When you look at this team now, when you start to get the interjection of the last year's MVP back into the lineup, and Jonathan Osorio as well, Richie Larea finding that peak form that sees him having success on the Canadian men's national team, is this going to be the best version of Toronto FC that maybe Major League Soccer has seen on Wednesday night?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for your kind words, Jamie, and it's great to talk to you. I wish we could be in person, but it's a great question to ask. You know, is it time that we're going to see the Toronto FC that we sort of have seen for the last 3, 4, 5 years, and the consistency and the quality, and a side who can basically win a game from nowhere with the players that they have? It's the potential's there. You know, there was certainly big improvements in terms of the attack against Orlando on Saturday night, and at times they look quite formidable in that sense, and Pozuelo definitely helps that. He's He's an outstanding football player, reigning MVP, and a guy who can just, he finds passes that you don't quite, nobody in the pitch sees, and he finds them and he executes them with perfection. So it's certainly going to improve them. Osorio was away with us, with the Canadian men's national team. We played considerable minutes, and he certainly looks sharper for that. Larea playing in a more advanced role. Akinola got a goal and started to look sharper, probably because of Pozuelo and the quality that he brings and the service that he gets. So, yes, I think that'll improve. I think they'll score goals for sure. It's at the other end that they've got big problems, where they were wide open again. Change Westberg, Quinton Westberg came in for Alex Bono, and he didn't have his best of games. He looked really rusty. So they've always got issues at the back at the moment, and it seems like they're very vulnerable to a counter-attack, to a transition, because of maybe the lack of pace that they have back there and the style of play and the lack of confidence at the moment.
See, this is why we want you on as one of the first guests on our very first episode. That sort of breakdown is next level and probably the best that could break down Toronto FC across Major League Soccer. You mentioned two things in there. You mentioned the Canadiens men's national team, and you mentioned defense. So I want to tie that back into Nashville SC. Alistair Johnston has sort of had this meteoric rise, first from being drafted, asserting himself with Nashville SC last season, and now finding a place with the Canadiens men's national team, who, congratulations to you, you just advanced to the final eight for World Cup qualifying in the CONCACAF region, an important 4-0 aggregate win over Haiti, in which, in those two most important games for the Canadian men's national team, Alistair Johnston featured for Canada. So I want to ask you about the maturation that you've seen of this young man, where he fits in Canada, and you also mentioned potential. So there's three tie-ins right there. What do you see when you look at Alistair Johnston, his potential with the Canadian men's national team?
Well, just a brilliant professional, a guy who has all the attributes, and I consider mentality his biggest attribute, to go to the very, very top and to succeed, certainly within MLS. And in my opinion, higher. Like, I really, really believe in this lad. He's a brilliant fella, and he's a great pro, and he wants to listen, he wants to learn. He's getting better very quickly, and I think he's got a lot to go in that regard as well. And this might seem lofty, but I actually believe there's a potential to play in one of the top five leagues in the world. I think in the English Premier League, a league that I know pretty well, where I think his attributes fit in really, really well there. You know, we played him on the right side of a three at the back most often, and he was sensational. He can step into things. He can make the challenges. He obviously reads the game well. He's physical and quick enough to cover the channels, and comfortable enough in the ball there to be reliable in possession. So I think he's got an amazing future. And the good thing about Alistair is he'll never get carried away. He'll never get too high, and he'll never get too low, and that's a brilliant temperament to have if you want to get to the very top of the game. So I'm excited to see how his career develops. I love working with him. I hope that I can work with him more, and I think Nashville have a fantastic player on their hands in Alistair Johnston.
Steve, before we let you go, very quick prediction then. How do you see it going Wednesday night? And don't forget, you're talking to a predominantly Nashville audience here.
Yeah, so play to the audience. Know your audience.
You know what, guys? You guys know me. I'm always very, very impartial. So I know I played for TFC, and I've been fortunate enough to commentate a lot of their big successes. But I always say it how it is, and I think it's going to be a tough one for TFC. I really do. I know it's been a bit stop-start for Nashville this season, but, you know, I've watched a few games, and I'm always impressed. I'm just always impressed with the energy, especially at home, you know, that they can bring, and some of the players that they have in the roster. Leal's obviously been a brilliant addition, Mokhtar. So I think it'll be tough. I think TFC would certainly take a point, and I think they might try and go there and play it tighter. I think they have to, otherwise they're going to leak a few goals. So a tight game if TFC play it well, but if they don't and Nashville get up early, it could be a comfortable victory for the home side.
All right, Stephen. It's great of you to join us. Thank you so much. Stephen Caldwell there from TSN.
Thanks, guys.
In Canada.
Thanks,
good luck,
Stephen.
Good luck to Toronto for the rest of the season after Wednesday. Jamie, our hour is just about up.
It's flown by.
NSC Backstage, show one in the books almost.
Wow. It's remarkable. Absolutely. Should we do this again next week?
Maybe we come back next week.
Who should we have on?
Why don't we have a one-on-one exclusive with the Nashville SC head coach, Gary Smith?
I like the sound of that.
We can do that? Let's do that.
All right, let's do it again. Same time next week?
Indeed, same time next week. Thank you very much to our sponsors, Camarena Tequila, and we will see you this time next Monday, 7 o'clock. Gary Smith will be our special guest. Don't forget the game's live on ESPN 94.9 on Wednesday too.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.